First Look as Future Look, the documentary and the predictive in Wuhan Diary. From January 25th through March 25th, 2020, veteran Wuhan-based writer Feng Fang posted a series of online diary entries that would divide a nation and incite one of the most controversial cultural incidents in decades. Originally published on the Chinese social media platforms of Weibo and WeChat, Wuhan Diary, dispatches from a quarantined city, chronicled the first citywide lockdown due to COVID-19. The diary provided a space where more than 50 million readers converged to understand what was transpiring in Wuhan during the height of the outbreak. It was there in the pages of Wuhan Diary that readers found someone who gave voice to their sorrow and rage, providing a bastion of solace and consolation. For those millions of Chinese readers during the early months of 2020, Wuhan Diary became the most important account of the unfolding tragedy. Feng Feng provided real-time reports on the nature of this strange new virus, sharing information she received from doctor friends on the condition at hospitals across the city, offering gentle suggestions to her readers, and crying with them during the death of Li Wenliang. Countless followers stayed up each night until the wee hours of the morning, anxiously waiting for Feng Feng to upload her next installment online. She became the voice of Wuhan. As award-winning novelist Yan Lianke mused, "Imagine this, the author Feng Feng did not exist in today's Wuhan. What would we have heard? What would we have seen?" For countless Chinese readers, Feng Feng became the eyes through which they navigated the darkest days of the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. When Feng Feng began to write her diary, the virus still did not even have an official name. Residents did not know how the virus was transmitted, and no one knew just how long this lockdown would last. It was the first of its kind. The diary was very much a first look, a raw and unfiltered attempt to document, process, and make sense of the unprecedented events unfolding around her, which at the time must have felt almost cataclysmic. The role this first look played was multifold. Feng Feng's diary functioned as an online clearinghouse of basic and breaking medical information about the virus, information that was of great interest to Chinese speaking readers all around the world, but carried an especially vital place for those fellow residents of Hubei province. As Zhu Jianguo observed, during the early stage of the COVID-19 outbreak, the diary actually played a direct and crucial role in raising widespread awareness about the virus and aiding China in its ability to take precautionary measures. This reveals the power of a first look to also wield potential for action, activism, and engagement. But in early April, as news broke that Wuhan Diary was to be published in English and German, public discourse around the book underwent a radical shift. A sophisticated disinformation campaign was unleashed against the book, which included a series of conspiracy theory-like accusations, anti-Feng Feng diss songs, political cartoons mocking the diary, hastily prepared academic articles attacking the book, and thousands of online troll attacks, even death threats. As the English translator of Wuhan Diary, I too was targeted with hate mail and death threats, which continue on an almost daily basis up to the time of this writing, more than 11 months later. Wuhan Diary, which was once embraced by millions, has now been largely washed from the Chinese social media sphere. Plans for a print version of the book in China were scrapped, and an army of more than a dozen politically correct diaries have risen up to take its place and tell the official story. By the time the English translation of Wuhan Diary was first published in ebook format in mid-May 2020, which was remarkably quick by normal publication standards, I already felt like we were too late. The United States was already in the clutches of COVID-19. A year later, discos and theaters have reopened in Wuhan, where life has more or less returned to normal, while my home in Los Angeles has now become the new epicenter of coronavirus. Call for as many as 1 in 3 residents of Los Angeles County have tested positive for COVID-19. I silently wondered if there was an invisible expiration date tied to a first look, like a daily headline news. Was there a time in which Feng Feng's account would no longer be relevant? 1 year later, detractors of the book in China claim Wuhan Diary missed its mark, For them, the failure of the West in controlling COVID-19 has accentuated China's success, rendering early mistakes, which Fangfang highlighted in the diary, laughable, as compared to the catastrophic losses suffered by countries like the United States. Instead, nationalist Chinese trolls taught me to write my own American diary to document the mounting death toll and widespread infection rates in the U.S. Others view Wuhan Diary as a historical document, an explosive of-the-moment record of how a global crisis first unfolded, an eyewitness account that offered the world its first glimpse of the damage this invisible virus is capable of unleashing, and what a global lockdown might look like. It is this aspect of the first look which is particularly important. While the entire world would eventually adjust to life under lockdown, there is no way to recapture the fear, trepidation, anger, and feelings of confusion, isolation, loss, and sadness that residents in Wuhan experienced during January and February of 2020. In this context, Fangfang's account provided a crucial archive of raw emotion, a record of responses, a museum of memories. It is this initial emotional response to COVID-19 which can never be reconstructed. In this sense, Fangfang's account is a crucial touchstone for future readers to understand the affective dimensions of the early lockdown. But for me, the most remarkable aspect of Wuhan Diary 1 year later is just how prophetic the book would prove to be. 2020 was not just the year of COVID-19, it was also a year of discrimination and racial tension, disinformation campaigns, fake news, conspiracy theories, political division, and online violence. All of those keywords played a central role in Fangfang's diary. It is in this context that Wuhan Diary offered the world not only a first look at the novel coronavirus, but also a future look. Of course, there is an experiential symmetry in the ways in which Fangfang described experiences that seemed novel in January 2020, like wearing face masks, trying to reserve a spot for online grocery deliveries, and the mundane aspects of life under quarantine, which she boiled down to eating, sleeping, and binge-watching. However, on a much more profound level, Fangfang was able to pinpoint the deeper fault lines extending out from behind the dark shadow of this virus. The COVID-19 outbreak in the United States has been racialized on a number of different levels, from a sharp increase in instances of prejudice and hate crimes against Asian Americans, to the ways in which the Black, Hispanic, and Indigenous communities have been disproportionately afflicted with this virus. But even before the United States had a single documented case of the coronavirus, Fangfang had already discussed the overt discrimination against Wuhan natives throughout China. Early on in the outbreak in China, one of the first responses was, when the virus was still broadly referred to in Chinese media as the Wuhan pneumonia, was widespread discrimination against Wuhan residents living, working, and traveling in other parts of China. It was a cogent warning of how rapidly disease unleashes paranoia, fear, discrimination, and an urge to isolate and quarantine racial, ethnic, and regional groups that are labeled as quote-unquote infected. She also made it clear that the virus itself does not differentiate when it comes to class or race. As early as January 28th, Fangfang wrote, quote, "The virus doesn't discriminate between ordinary people and high-ranking leaders," unquote. This is advice that those who attended the White House Rose Garden super spreader event on September 26th would have been well to heed. Fangfang also wrote at length about the politicization of the virus in China, but she certainly could have never predicted the obscene level of political polarity that would coalesce around the simple common sense preventive measures like the wearing of face masks in the United States. According to Fangfang's account, she first wore a face mask on January 18, 2020, when she visited a friend in the hospital. At the time, there were still no official announcements about an outbreak. Yet in response to rumors of a new SARS-like illness spreading in Wuhan, Fangfang began to bear a mask. Please let that sink in. Fangfang is willingly wearing an N95 mask on January 18th, long before the word COVID-19 had even been coined. There was very little information about what this virus was, how it spread, who was at risk, yet out of an overabundance of caution, Fangfang wears a mask. The United States death toll from COVID-19 has now surpassed 545,000 people, with more than 30 million cases, We know for certain that wearing masks help prevent the spread of COVID-19, and health officials have repeatedly stated that infection rates would plummet if Americans wore a mask. Yet many citizens not only continue to refuse to wear masks, but we have even seen the absurd rise of the, quote, anti-masker movement. Lawmakers in Florida sue their state over mask mandates, anti-mask freedom rallies in Los Angeles. Fangfang described the desperation of Wuhan residents dealing with an early shortage of face masks. And here, a year later in America, we still see daily videos on social media of Americans raging against masks. Fangfang's diary also traced the disturbing intersection of COVID-19 with disinformation campaigns, fake news, and conspiracy theories. As online attacks against the book mounted, Wuhan Diary became pulled into an increasingly complex vortex of conspiracy theories involving everything from the US-China trade war to the origins of the virus itself. Along the way, the wild accusations ranged from allegations that Fangfang and I were CIA agents to the diary being part of a sophisticated anti-China plot to damage the nation's global image. A year later, the theories have not only failed to die down, but they have become even more unbridled, with Chinese social media posts in early 2021 now blaming Fangfang for the United States' failure to control COVID-19. They claim that Fangfang's calls for Chinese government accountability lulled the U.S. into a state of complacency, linking the outbreak to a result of human failure. The protracted nature of these attacks against Wuhan Diary also speaks to the continued relevance and power that a first look can wield, which in this case went on to shape so much of the subsequent discourse around the Wuhan outbreak. The conspiracy theories that arose fueled waves of online hate and the aforementioned death threats, all of which were further exacerbated by the fact that millions of people were out of work, locked down at home, angry and frustrated. Imagine my surprise when a few months later I began to see a nearly identical pattern of online hate, disinformation, and conspiracy theories sweeping the United States, from QAnon to Stop the Steal, with many of the most egregious lies echoing through, if not emanating from, the highest office in the land. A year later, the meaning of Wuhan Diary lies not only in its account of COVID-19, but also in the fierce public and online debates that surrounded the book. These debates circulating around Wuhan Diary became a public referendum on the very nature of civil society in China. It was not about Fangfang, but about what kind of country Chinese citizens wanted for themselves. A nation where someone can publish a diary without fear of threat or reprisal, or a nation where only one politically correct version of truth is permissible. It was a war between those who advocated for a more open and pluralistic society and a you're with us or against us faction that viewed the world in simplistic black and white terms. The debate over this issue in China was fierce and unprecedented. I received numerous letters from Chinese netizens who told me that they had stopped talking to friends or relatives due to disagreements over Wuhan Diary. The book became a lightning rod issue that was literally tearing families apart. A few months later, the United States would also be torn apart as it too navigated similar questions about civil society, which would go from online forums and presidential Twitter feeds to the very halls of the U.S. Capitol building during the January 6th insurrection. Finally, 2020 was also a year that stood out for the stunning lack of accountability for those who mishandled the virus. One of the most remarkable aspects of Fangfang's Wuhan Diary are her repeated appeals for specialists and officials who mishandled the outbreak to stand up, take responsibility for their mistakes, apologize, and resign. In Wuhan Diary, Fangfang raged against those officials who suppressed information about the virus early on, public security personnel who muzzled the whistleblower Li Wenliang, and the public health officials who claimed person-to-person transmission of the coronavirus was not possible. As Fangfang writes, who were the leaders in order to save face decided to twist the truth when reporting to their superiors and hide the truth from the public? Who was it that put political correctness above the lives of our people? And how many people contributed to this disaster? Whoever had a hand in this should take responsibility. The people need someone to assume accountability. At the same time, the government should urge officials from various departments whose actions misguided the public, leading to the massive number of deaths, to resign. End quote. Make no mistake, China did mishandle some details of the novel coronavirus outbreak early on in Wuhan. This is now part of the public record. The police officers that wrongly accused Li Wenliang of spreading rumors publicly apologized. And once the central government took control of the battle against the virus, they quickly adopted a clear and strong policy that effectively flattened the curve and ultimately squashed the outbreak in China. Their actions may have fallen short by Fangfang standards, but there was some degree of accountability in China. Numerous officials were dismissed from office or demoted as a direct consequence for their mishandling of the COVID-19 response in Wuhan. As the United States gazes down the black hole of a dismantled pandemic response team, broken CDC test kits, chronic shortages of PPE and ventilators, delays in testing even when it was declared anyone who wants a test can get a test, a stunning lack of federal policy concerning COVID-19, a flawed vaccination rollout, a cesspool of lies, distraction, and disinformation, and a mounting death toll, we must ask, who will hold our leaders accountable? If Fangfang, writing under an authoritarian regime under constant attack by thousands of internet trolls, was able to demand that her government live up to a higher standard of truth, transparency, and accountability, what is our excuse? A year on in China, Fangfang's initial calls for accountability have been all but forgotten, buried under a smokescreen of attacks and threats against the author. Thanks to one of the most sophisticated and protracted personal attack campaigns waged against an individual, Fangfang is now alternately referred to as the Witch of Lies, a traitor to China, a secret CIA agent, and an entitled out-of-touch gongzhi, a derogatory reference to public intellectuals, claiming she exploited the Chinese people to gain fame and profit abroad. Here in the United States and so many other Western nations that utterly failed when it came to the tests that COVID-19 presented to them, will this too be our future look? A long dead empty stare into the face of a startling display of inaction, ineptitude, and injustice, offering only silence, complacency, and cries of victory in our battle against the virus.